Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Dobrý večer and welcome to the Bohemian Podcast with Pete Coleman and Travis Doe.
Evening from Prague. This is Pete Coleman for the Bohemian Podcast, and we have a great interview show in front of you tonight for this podcast. And we don't do too many of these. Usually our programs are produced in a way of a narrative prose and a documentary style, but every once in a while, like we did with Sam Beckwith from the Prague Pig blog post, we have some nice interviews. And today I am joined by a good friend of mine and also a co-worker and the co-creator of a application for the iPhone and also for Android devices that is called Lingo Native. And we're going to talk about that tonight, as well as his background in connections to the Czech Republic. So with that introduction, let's introduce our guest tonight, finally, Andrew Jendáček. Andrew, thanks for being on the program tonight.
Yeah, I'd like to start off just by talking a little bit about the app. It's called Lingo Native. I developed it with a colleague of mine from a previous place I worked. I'm from the United States, from the state of New Mexico, and my colleague is from Prague. And we decided after some discussions over lunch that we wanted to embark on putting together an app that would essentially provide both Czech native speakers as well as anyone who speaks English the opportunity to really learn how to speak both English and Czech as natives would use the language. Anyone who's ever tried to use Google Translate to translate from English into Czech becomes pretty aware of the limitations of Google Translate. We think that there is a need in the market for people to be able to interact in that foreign language as native speakers would.
Well, yeah, very interesting about the process with this and creating an app and getting that moving. But maybe you could walk us through how this all got started, because, you know, no one really just goes out there and just starts an app out of scratch without really kind of doing their homework on what's needed. Could you walk us through those steps on the very beginnings of designing this application, Lingo Native?
So it started off, I started developing an Excel spreadsheet of all sorts of things that were common occurrences in my life living here in Prague, going to the shops or making arrangements at the foreign ministries and things like that. And when my colleague David saw what I had been compiling over the years, he said, "Wow, this is a really fantastic start to a really big project that we could take on." So at this point, the database that runs in the back end of the app has roughly 10,000 phrases, and it's always growing. So when a user is using Lingo Native and looks for something, they may not find exactly what they're looking for, but there's the option to enter your requested translation. And we see that in the back end and then can provide a native translation. So it could be something. I can draw from a few examples that are in the app. For example, if you were to put in, I always like this one, we're on a wild goose chase. And if you ever put this into Google Translate, of course, it would translate the words wild goose and chase independently. But to a Czech speaker, the actual meaning of this combination of words would be meaningless. So that's an example of the kind of things that we would translate as a native Czech speaker would say that. Over time, I also discovered, of course, how challenging the grammar is. And I thought, you know, there must be an easier way. Maybe there's an easier way to really begin to wrap my mind around the complexity of the language. Maybe if I start using full phrases, I can sort of bypass the mathematics of the grammar and learn maybe in a more organic way. And really, that's how the app itself really took off. It was about compiling very commonly used expressions. So not just expressions that you'd use at a pub or but very common expressions. You know, how to ask very basic questions correctly.
What are you seeing with some of the downloads that you have right now, and where do you want it to go for the future? Is it kind of still in its infancy? Is it still some room for growth, of course? And what is your target audience?
Where we want to see the app go in the future? Well, we recognize that there's a real premium on, especially young Czechs, mastering English. So our initial audience really was Czechs learning English. But of course, as we developed this idea further and further, we said, you know, this is also has the same applicability for any English speakers. It doesn't have to be native English speakers, but any English speakers to learn Czech. So we really have a very wide audience, both foreigners living here, native Czechs, and of course, large tourist population that comes to Prague and visits throughout the Czech Republic every year.
So, Andrew, you had mentioned that the spreadsheet of all this information you're putting together that started this application for Lingo Native is that, and please feel free to drop that name as many times you want to during this podcast. It's always good to kind of do some name dropping for people to remember the name Lingo Native. It must have taken, it's a work of love, actually, right? I mean, there might be some things in here that you needed to say, I want to make something that I can use, that I would enjoy as I'm acclimating back to this society here in Europe. The other part is kind of paying it forward for people that want to know more about, you know, how to communicate here when you get to Czech Republic. Not an easy language at all. But maybe you can tell us a little bit more about your journey that got you to this point to help make this app.
You know, it was rather interesting. My father had always stayed in touch with our extended family, mostly his cousins that live in the area around Náchod, some of the smaller towns around there, which is in Eastern Czech Republic. And growing up, I always remember that these uncles would send us packages, including old shoes. And my dad was always excited to find a pair of old shoes in the mail. And he, oh, we've got some old shoes from Czechoslovakia. And my sisters and I looked at him like he'd lost his mind. And he'd reach down into the toe of the shoes and pull out bags of dried mushrooms. The shoes were there just as packaging to be thrown away. It was the mushrooms that my dad was after. But as it turned out, with this maintaining the family connection throughout the whole period of socialism, my dad said, you know, Andrew, you graduated from high school. Perhaps you'd want to go spend some time with your uncle. And so I said, okay, well, why not? Never had really much of a connection to the Czech Republic, but I thought it could be a very interesting time. So this was in 1991. And my parents said, okay, we've arranged it. You can go live with your uncle Bohosh in the small town of Hronov, where the famous Czech author Alois Jirásek is from. And they'll arrange for you to spend a year attending the local gymnasium in Náchod. And I said, well, that sounds really interesting. Okay, I'll try it out. I guess, of course, at the age of 17, I wasn't prepared for any of this. And especially since I didn't have any of the language skills, but it was one of those situations, you know, absolutely sink or swim. And I discovered that none of my family members really spoke any English. So it was a daily struggle just to communicate from the very beginning.
Your father that was born here in Prague, right? And he had some memories of being here in post-war Czechoslovakia and the dawn of going into the communist era here for the next 40 or so years. It was his father that... Antonín, that was really in the middle of all this stuff. By our conversation, I would definitely call him a revolutionary. Not the type of the guy to wear the armband or go out there and lead the guys in a march, but he did it with his pen, his typewriter, if you will, and tried to document what was going on here leading into that coup of 1948.
That's right, Pete. My grandfather... right after the war, became the editor of a publication referred to as Americké listy, the American pages. And he was reporting about all sorts of events happening abroad, but from a perspective, from the American, I guess from somewhat of an American perspective, looking at the democracy in the state. He became quite a critic of what was happening in the post-war Soviet Union, and subsequently what was happening in the late 40s, ultimately culminating into the coup of the Czechoslovak government by the Communist Party in 1948. And he was, as a newspaper man, he was there in Parliament and watching the events as they unfolded. So he was, of course, recording these events. This kind of a person with this position at the time very quickly became an enemy of the state. And my grandfather has quite an interesting and exciting story. This could have just ended his life. Because of just being the wrong guy in the wrong place. But in fact, he had a great stroke of luck. He found out that the state was looking to arrest him in 1948 through some close connections in the government. In fact, at the time, there was the Minister of Health. His name was Adolf Prochaska. And he was also very instrumental in assisting my family in their escape from communist Czechoslovakia. My grandfather managed to escape overnight, and the United Nations essentially assisted him, making it to New York, where he later testified to the UN about what was happening here. Unfortunately, the rest of his family, so my grandmother, my father, and aunt and uncle, they had to remain in Prague, and they stayed here for another about 6 or 7 months before they were able to escape with the help of the Minister of Health, Adolf Prochaska. The reason for why they stayed and couldn't flee with my grandfather was because my uncle was on one of the typical school ski trips. It's called Lyžařský výcvik in Czech, and he was up in the mountains. Of course, the family couldn't just leave the country and leave him behind. So as a result, my grandmother and the rest of the family waited for him to return. As it turned out, my grandfather, this Minister of Health, were able to orchestrate a falsified outbreak of polio claim that there was a real problem with a polio epidemic across Czechoslovakia. And as a result, this reduced the number of the border guards, the Stasi, by about two-thirds. The rest of the story is also quite interesting, how they escaped in a large group. One of the members of the escape party happened to be a hunchback, and everyone in the rest of the party was very concerned about that drawing attention. And my dad, as a child, remembers the arguments between members of the escape party, thinking that they're drawing too much attention. In the end, they posed as people out there in the woods collecting mushrooms. Mushrooms being a very popular thing to do here in the Czech Republic. And underneath all of the mushrooms were my grandmother's jewels and all the money that they had. So they basically left with the shirts on their backs and managed to get into West Germany.
It's an amazing story of refugee status to head out to, I believe at the time would be coming through West Germany and then going into being sent off to the States. Looking at this, is that it's just an issue of fate or just circumstance that some of the family had to stay here and some were able to go. And I think that's a very common thing for a lot of Czechs that look into their history, that families were torn apart by this. If you could get out, you did. You know, you tried your best to get out, but then there was all the people that you left behind. And one of the things that you told me your story about this was that your grandfather wasn't quiet about his disdain towards the new government. And the publications that he wrote, the things that he said, and a very famous package that he sent back this direction might have contributed to some serious problems for the family members left behind. Luckily, it didn't. But maybe you could kind of walk us through some of the things that he did as a boat rocker, as I like to call it.
That's right, Pete. So after my grandfather, Antonín Jandáček, made it stateside, he had a hard time, as any immigrant does, trying to build a new life for himself. And he continued to work on his publications, of course, writing in the Czech language, and now able to publish his Czech manuscripts in the American press. When my grandfather discovered that they had issued him a death sentence by hanging in absentia, so he was already in the United States, my grandfather was so outraged by the news that he ended up deciding to mail President Gottwald 10 feet of rope, essentially telling Gottwald, go hang yourself. And I would agree, this is sort of an act of rebellion and maybe not the most calculated decision in his life, because, of course, this could have led to all sorts of very bad things happening to the rest of his family that were still here in Czechoslovakia. So I understand from my uncle that, you know, it was, of course, very difficult for anyone in the family to go on to get a higher a degree at university. And that was probably the softest kind of repercussion that you could imagine for such an act, especially when you consider that other people who were even affiliated with people who were protesting against the state or making these kinds of gestures, they may very well end up in the uranium mines in Yakumov and serve a sentence there, and most likely also come down with some terrible lung disease that would claim their lives.
I think you really hit that the nail on the head there, you know, Andrew, because I think some people might listen to this and say, you know what, you know, we're talking about what ifs and what could have been. You know, maybe the communist government at the time wasn't going to be so heavy-handed, but of course they were. And historical references and fact that these things happened, people just disappeared. especially during those very heady times between 48 and 52, people were sent to the uranium mines or to these we call them concentration camps. They're basically prison camps or re-education camps. I'm using air quotes right now as I'm saying that. The Vonya prison camp that's heading towards Tashumava. I've been there. I've seen it. It's reminiscent of what you would see during Nazi Germany. All the dissidents that were there were people that ranged from the clergy, priests, Catholic priests, artists, actors, press people. So just think of anybody that can really push change in another direction from what was coming. They were imprisoned.
Yeah.
And they were the lucky ones. Some of them were sent off to Siberia. Some of them were never heard from again. One person in particular, as you're telling me this story, is something I just saw on Netflix the other day. It's been out for a year or so. It was the story of Mlada Horakova. If you ever want to take a look at that on Netflix, she was hanged, actually, about 3 miles from here at Pankrats Prison. That's still in place today. And she was part of the legislature, and she was fighting against this coup that was coming. And she had every opportunity to leave. Her husband did get out, but she couldn't leave. And she stayed, and she was sentenced to death by hanging. And so those things did happen. And the repercussions for family members went on for another generation until 1989. I mean, we can talk about so many other people that were on the wrong end of that of the political flow here when it came to the communists. So to look at these papers in front of me and see, I'm looking at right now the cover of, it looks like a friar, probably a bishop of some type, chained around his neck to the hammer and sickle over a map of Czechoslovakia. You know, this is what your grandfather had written, and you can definitely tell just by the cover art, even though I can't read the Czech inside, you can tell his viewpoints on things, that this was a man that was very, very much against what was happening and very concerned about his home country. Andrew, how long did he live, and did he get to see any of the changes that were coming by 1989?
No, my grandfather died before I was born, so he never got to witness the Velvet Revolution and the transformation of the state. My grandmother also didn't live until 89 either, but she did manage to fly back to visit family who she hadn't seen in decades before she died. So at least there was some degree of closure in her life. But I think, as you pointed out, there were really a few generations of real suffering and families really being torn apart because of having any political opinions that might be less than favorable by the state.
So Andrew, we're looking at some of the other periodicals and also some of the books that were written by both your grandmother and your grandfather. They have strong connections to the old country of Czechoslovakia. And it's nice to see that you have this bit of history here as a connection. You mentioned that your grandfather died before you were born. So you can actually kind of see through his words and his books what kind of man he was.
Both of my grandparents were quite active in their literary circle, which I think at the time in Chicago, where they had immigrated to, there were a fair number of Czech and Slovak immigrants. And they even operated a delicatessen that served mostly the local Slavic population in Cicero in Chicago. At the time, my grandfather wrote a novel. I just discovered that it's still available at several of the antique bookstores around the Czech Republic, called Little Giants. It's a novel about Czech immigrants to the United States. He also spent a lot of his summers dragging the family to Texas to visit the Czech communities that are known in Central Texas. So, and he wrote a book about this.
Yeah, and that's a great point too, because we've had on our show before, Come and Take It, which is a podcast from some of our great friends in Texas that talk about Texas history, and we've had them on our show, and we've been on their show talking about the Czech traditions that were in the great state of Texas. And a lot of people that either immigrated through in the 19th century or even into the 20th century came through New Orleans or Houston and those ports, and then came through to settle. And there's a lot of places there that have these great Czech, you know, traditions on recipes for shops on kolaches. You can, you know, you can see some of those things where you can actually see some old churches that are named, you know, Small Prague or Little Bohemia. It's all through there. It's really, really interesting. And there's a lot of our listeners from the States have these connections. And I think part of the reason why they listen to the Bohemian podcast is to try to grasp some of those ancestral roots. And you've got a book right here that's written by your grandfather with the great state of Texas on the front of it.
Yeah, the title translates into English to something like, At Our Locals in the State of Texas. So it's a story of the Czechs living in Texas. My grandmother also was quite active with her writing. She wrote a cookbook, which was translated into English and German, a Czech national cookbook. And whenever I show this to my local Czech friends, they always have a smile from the fact that it's written in that style, that it was very artfully written, and it was obviously written for people who had an abundance of time to make these very complex Czech recipes. But I think oftentimes the locals are also my local friends who are in their 30s or maybe early 40s are surprised to see some Czech dishes that they've never heard of before. And perhaps in the future, Pete, if you're ever interested, you could do a great podcast on the history of Czech cuisine, because there's quite an interesting story about how the under socialist times, what was considered common Czech dishes, the number was greatly reduced.
You brought this up. We did actually do a show on Czech cuisine, but we didn't really talk about the effects of trying to find the right ingredients during the communist times, which was a challenge. But we did talk about a lot of the cool things that people do eat here. I was kind of smiling when you're reading that thinking that maybe some of the friends and family members would look through this cookbook and go, wow, that's an ingredients with a lot of butter. there's a lot of things in here that we consider probably not as healthy oriented in today's issue. Like, you know, please save all the cooking fat so you can make some really great dishes. There's like my grandparents, the same thing, had German background. They saved everything, man. I mean, they lived through the Great Depression. They saved every bit of cooking fat they could use later. Couldn't be very healthy, but boy, did it taste good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So a little taste of home. Well, as we're kind of wrapping up the show tonight, there's a lot of here to digest, whether you're talking about your family, talking about your attributes of putting together this great app that I've used and I've enjoyed. I think a lot of people will get something out of this. The tourists outnumber, I think, the populace of Prague almost at over 2-1 in the summer months. So if you're coming here, and a lot of you that are listening to this podcast tonight might be coming here this summer, you may do yourself a favor here to download this. It's a free app that you can download now, and you can also add on to some things with some issues. And, of course, the name of it, again, is Lingo Native. And you can find that in the Google Play Store. You can find it also on the App Store and other places that you can download these great apps. You know, we really appreciate you, Andrew, being here. And I've gotten to – it's nice working with you so many years. I got to know this part of you. As you know, I love family history. I love how it connects to us today. And, you know, could you imagine if things were just a little bit different, if your grandfather did stay behind or your father? What could have happened? Maybe you wouldn't be here now. So there's some great family history here, and I hope that that's something you'll pay it forward with your kids and tell them these wonderful stories. And we appreciate you letting us into your life on the podcast tonight to tell all of our wonderful listeners about what brought you here eventually several generations after your grandfather left and what you're doing right now with the application.
Thank you very much, Pete. It's a real pleasure to be on your show.
Yeah, great. And if you can, be sure to take a look at our website at bohemican.com. You can take a visual tour of what we're doing with our YouTube channel. Just go to Bohemican. You'll find the playlist there on YouTube. So until next time, for my partner that was absent today, Travis Dow, I'm Pete Coleman, saying see you next time on the Bohemican Podcast.
You have been listening to the Bohemican Podcast with Pete Coleman and Travis Dow.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.